To all the ladies in the place with under some pressure, hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
Hill Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin, yeah. My crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the need. No need to be greedy, I got mad friends with Benz that see notes by the...
What's up, Packers fans, and welcome to another edition of the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And I'm not going to go another second into this podcast without thanking each and every one of you that was at the live pod. You guys said such nice things to us. You were great with the autograph stuff. We were happy to give out some Packer Report gear. You guys asked phenomenal questions. You can go back and check that out on the in our feed. As I mentioned to Gilbert before the show, the audio isn't quite where we wanted it to be. But the reason for that is because that crowd was absolutely rocking. We want to thank you guys, the fans. We want to thank Stadium View for just a phenomenal experience for everybody. Gilbert, you have a good time?
It was bonkers, man. There was so many people there. And you couldn't have no kind of control over them because they was just so amped after the game and everybody was having a great time. The guests were awesome. You did a pretty good job, Uggs. I'll take my hat off to you, brother.
I appreciate that. And I tell you what, big shout out to the Bears fan that rushed the stage at the end and got thrown out by security. That was really the cherry on top, shouting at us about college something. But that
awesome.
Was absolutely wild. Dude just head to toe in Bears orange and had to get escorted out by our boy at the end of the table there. Just a phenomenal ending to a phenomenal show. But yeah, I would certainly be remiss to not thank Santana Dotson, Amon Green for their time as well. I thought they were phenomenal interview subjects. That was, you know, full disclosure, that was the first time I'd ever done a live event like that. And you know what? You three made it easy on me. That was a ton of fun and something that we really hope to do with Stadium View again in the future, because that was great. And in fact, if you guys can mention to Stadium View on social how much fun you guys had or that you'd like to see us do it again, that would be big time for us, because we had just absolutely so much fun. All right. Very, very brief news section, because the Packers are about as healthy as they've been in the last decade. I look at this injury report sometimes and I hardly even believe it, but things are not so great on that side for the Minnesota Vikings. It seems highly unlikely that Dalvin Cook is going to play, and even a possibility with Alexander Mattison not participating in practice either. They might be out without their number two back as well. I think Alex Boone or Mike Boone is the third string running back. I'm not super up on my Minnesota Vikings third string running backs. Maybe I should be, but that's more about the scheme. I mean, Dalvin Cook's a great player, but that zone scheme that Gary Kubiak brought from Houston and Denver, you saw at Denver, it didn't matter who they plugged into that thing. He was getting 1,000 yards. And as good as Dalvin Cook is, it's the same thing. You talk about all those different guys that were able to, the Mike Andersons of the world that were able to make it work in Denver. I have no problem believing that whoever lines up for Minnesota is going to be able to make it work in that system, in that scheme. So I don't know as though that's going to have a tremendous effect on the outcome, but we'll talk about that a little bit later. Finally, here are your general playoff scenarios, folks. The Packers need to either beat the Vikings or the Lions, and they win the division. If they beat them both, they are guaranteed no worse than the number two seed, which means a bye week and at least one home playoff game. If they lose to Minnesota on Monday and beat Detroit, it is almost guaranteed that they will be the three seed playing on wild card weekend and probably playing Minnesota. That does seem like the way that things are going to shake out. So Monday night's game, certainly a big, big deal for the green and gold. We just want to take this time again to thank our title sponsor and to certainly direct you the way of Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And boy, Gilbert, it didn't seem like we needed to direct anybody there on game day. That place was packed to the absolute rafters. It felt like a New York nightclub, except everybody was in hunting gear.
They was ripping and running, man. I mean, they got all the little girls running around getting everybody drinks and stuff like that. The security was awesome. The food was awesome. And the fans, you know, even though you don't really love the outcome of that game, they were still amped because we beat the Bears, period.
Oh, you know, obviously, for sure. And you know, I think it didn't hurt, although I would guess that most Packers fans would have preferred the Chargers to beat the Vikings. As soon as the Vikings beat the Chargers and that game went final, the Bears were eliminated for the playoffs. The playoff chances of the Chicago Bears ended at that very moment, which I don't think made anybody in Green Bay sad at all.
I was ecstatic just because the Bears, the team that was supposed to punish us, everybody was talking about all summer long, ain't even in the playoffs. Boo-hoo. They still suck.
All right. It's you know what else sucks?
What's that?
And we were just making fun of them today. Hmm. You know, it's been 42 years since the Vikings were even in the Super Bowl.
42 years? Wow.
Are you 42?
No, I wish I was 42. I'm 48. I'm getting old.
Well, so, but think about that, Gilbert. You were 6 the last time they were in the big game.
I don't even think I even thought about that. Especially nope. Them purple people. No. Is that when they had a friend to
Tarkenton?
There he is.
Fran Tarkenton and the purple people eaters, Carl Eller and Jim Marshall.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Browner. No, Joey Browner must have come on later. Mm-hmm. Anyway, who cares? They never won anything.
Yeah. Right.
Anyway.
Right.
But I would guess that the real hardcore Gilbert, the Gravedigger Brown fans know this. Mm-hmm. But I would say not everybody knows this. Mm-hmm. That you were actually drafted, and you were a high pick by the Minnesota Vikings. You were a third round pick.
Mm. Man, that whole scenario. Oh my God! Did you want me to tell you the whole scenario, how it happened, how I got to Green Bay? Oh,
well, like we said, we might make an entire offseason pod about this, but I would love to get the let's call it the 10 to 12 minute edition, maybe the 6 to 8 minute edition of how Gilbert Brown ended up, you know, going from the Vikings as a third round pick to the Packers in the same offseason.
Oh, you know, the Packers that year, they first round pick, they had 2 first round picks, didn't they? They had George Teague and Wayne Simmons. So they went all the first picks.
They're some hard hitting dudes.
Yeah, they went defense. So me being drafted over to Minnesota, man, was just like, ugh. I get to Minnesota, right? First, the coach, John Terling, was so sweet to me. He was so nice to me. But as soon as I got to Minnesota, he turned into King Asshole. And I was just like, oh my God. So I get there and if I ever in person see Chris Carter, I would just slap those caterpillars off his face. The 2 eyebrows he got. I would just, oh, he made my life a living hell. I mean, I had to sing for my dinner. I had to sing to do this. I had to go take out the garbage. I had to make sure the lights were cut off. So then I get there, right? And I'm looking at this defensive line. They got Chris Dolman. They got Henry Thomas. They got John Randall. And I forget who the other defensive end was because they were trying to get a starter, I believe, over there. And I'm trying to figure out, how am I going to fit in this defense? Up the field fast, doing all this stuff. I'm a brawler, man, you know. So I get there, and they got these two hoops on the ground, right? And you got to run around these hoops like doing a figure eight, okay? So first time we get out there, he says, you got to catch John Randall. Go! Man, we're going around for days, right? Can't catch this fool. So then we turn around.
He's like 5'11". He's like 5'11", 290.
Who was that?
John.
Oh, no, 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 no. He's fat.
I mean, you're right. That's what I'm saying is he's way smaller than you are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I had to catch him, you know. So we turn around. We turn around, and then he got to catch me. Go. Boom, he catch me. He said, now, if you don't catch him or he catch you, you're going to be running the whole rest of practice. So I have turned into a professional football player into a long distance track guy in Minnesota. So I'm like, okay, all right, all right. So then, you know, we get everything. We get our, you know, week of the first game, they lose, which people don't understand. They thought I got cut. The reason is week of the first game, they lost their starting running back. Okay, so they had to, but they didn't want to take him and put him on IR because he had a chance to come back. So they went out and got a running back, so they need to free up a roster spot. So Dennis Green called me in his office, God rest his soul, and said, Gilbert, we're going to put you on waivers, but we're going to bring you back in practice squad. All I was cared about, do I still get paid? Because if not, I'm going to go on the mound. And he was like, no, yeah, you still get paid. So I'm a guy that listens, you know. So he told me just leave the facility, go to your room, stay there for a day or two, then we're going to bring you back. I said, okay. So I left the facility just like he said, got in my car, drove 10 minutes, got to the hotel, knew the girl at the front desk. She said, Gilbert, you got a phone call from Gary Reynolds from the Green Bay Packers. I said, for real? I wonder what they want. So I'll take it up in my room. So I called Gary Reynolds, and Gary Reynolds said, hey, buddy, you a Green Bay Packer now. We're going to see your plane ticket, and we're going to see you tomorrow. I said, homeboy, I got my truck. I'm going to load it up, and I'll see y'all tonight. So I got in that truck, and I drove whatever it is to Green Bay. Got there.
Solid 4.5.
Yeah.
Solid 4.5.
Solid 4.5. Metal to the pedal, whatever they say. Get to Green Bay. Wake up. I got there that night, so I checked in my room. And as soon as I get to the facility, who's the first person I see? Oh, Reggie White. I said, OMG. I told myself, I'm going to stick to him like a sponge because I want to learn. I want to be the best. I want to try to be the best at what I can be. And learning under him and learning his ways and learning how he played the game, I knew that I have the best chance of making this team. And lo and behold, he was a guy that young guy, old guy, whatever, he's going to sit you down. He's going to talk to you. He's going to try to help you out the best way he can. I get through the practices, and I'm telling myself, I said, I never want to digress or go back to being that guy I was in Minnesota. Green Bay helped me out so much because in Minnesota, it was so many distractions, man. I mean, we hanging out with Prince one night, and we doing this, and we going to the club and all this other stuff. I get to Green Bay, like I always say, ain't nothing going better than Best Buy. You know, so I'm at Best Buy, and I'm doing this, that, and the other, whatever. But then again, I get there, and I told myself, and you know, them veteran offensive linemen, they can get you, you know. So I get to Green Bay, right, and I'm practicing, and I'm going hard, man, because I don't want to ever go through that again. And the offensive lineman, like, hey, man, we'll pay you a little bit. You slow down a little bit and practice, you know. And, you know, we don't want to be doing all. I said, homeboy, you save your money. I'm going to give you the best I got. And when I tell you I was going at it and whooping on them as much as I can because, like I said, we don't want to go back to – or being able to get released or waived or whatever again, because, you know, some people learn from mistakes or some people learn from what happened and they don't want to go through it again. My time in Minnesota was a nice brief. I always try to challenge people. I say, if you can find me in a Minnesota uniform, because if the cameras was, I don't know why, but if the cameras was going, I was hiding. I did not want to be caught in a purple uniform. And I got to Green Bay, and being able to be a part of a team that the guys, there were no hazing, there were no cliques, everybody was, you know, because that's the thing about playing football, the hazing part, if they give you a book that's almost like them old school yellow page phone books, that thick of paper, and you got to learn that. You think you can learn with guys hazing you and telling you go do this and go sing for this and go do that? You can't do that, man. It's that's the thing about coming into Green Bay when Mike Holmgren even said, he say, hey, man, y'all here to learn. We ain't got time to do all that hazing and being stupid, because that'll get you cut. And I learned that, and I'm so thankful that the Green Bay Packers gave me a chance to play the game I love. It took me a road to get there, but I got there, and then I wasn't looking back.
So I got two quick questions based off of that. First one is, what was it about the Vikings organization? Because twice there you kind of mentioned disdain for them in the sense of you weren't real excited to get drafted by them and you kind of didn't want to get seen in their uniform. But what was it about your predisposition to Minnesota that you knew that you weren't a Viking?
Because I always wanted to end up kind of like in Minnesota, because the college I really wanted to go to was Minnesota. You know, that's back when they had Darrell Thompson and Ricky Foggy and all them type of guys. And I wanted to be somewhere in that, but they killed that dream when they said I was playing offensive line. So from that point on to now, the disdain I had, but then again, being in that, for me, it wasn't the fit that I thought it was once I truly got there and saw the true colors of the team. You know, back then it was different when, you know, like I said, the locker room was not like it was in Green Bay. You know, in Green Bay, it's wide open. You know, it was wide open. And Minnesota was kind of like, you know, at the time it was like lockers here and a locker there and backs to the wall and stuff like that. So, and not saying nothing, I enjoyed the players part of it. You know, I really thank Chris Dolman and Henry Thomas and John Randall, the guys that on the D line, they were pretty good, and they were helping guys out, but the fit for me was not there.
Sure. And the second thing I want to ask is kind of I don't know if I would say it's personal, but just how much of that failure, how much of not working out in Minnesota, how much of that is the circumstances? And how much of that do you honestly just put on yourself? And like you said, you learn from your mistakes.
Well, I'm gonna say it's a little bit of both. You know, I felt I was doubting myself when I got there because I was trying to figure out how do I fit in. You know, I'm a brawler type defensive lineman. You know, I'm gonna sit up there and brawl. I can get upfield when I need to, but their whole thing was upfield. So I was doubting myself on that part. But then again, I also, you know, I was a big guy, okay? So it's always been a stigma of me losing weight. It's always been a stigma of me doing this, that, or the other. So that part was on me, you know what I'm saying? But for me to make it all the way to the first game, then getting waived or practice squad or whatever they want to call it, was an accomplishment, but it was also a letdown because I figured that, you know, in my time in Minnesota, I knew I wasn't going to start because of the guys they had in front of me. They've been there forever. They great guys. But then when I got to Green Bay and I saw the opportunity that I had when I got to Green Bay, not saying that them guys in Minnesota were better than our guys that we had in Green Bay, but I saw an opportunity and an opening there to where it made me fuel me to get that starting spot, you know, and that's the thing that I saw and thrived on. But like I said, whatever I did, whatever would have happened, it all worked out in the end because I am a lifelong Green Bay Packer and I am proud of it.
It's interesting because one of the things you and I talk about constantly is the scheme. And it certainly would appear to me that you were a really awful scheme fit for what they were trying to do in Minnesota, and that maybe them drafting you in the first place didn't make a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't know. I mean, to me, I felt like I wasn't going to be the nose in that defense. I was probably going to be the three technique pressure push up the field, the big push up the field. And that three-man rotation or whatever they could have had with me, Henry Thomas, and John Randall would have been awesome because we each bring something different to the table. But I don't think that they really saw that. But they also had another kid there by the name of, I think his name was Scott Conover, but he was almost as big as me or bigger than me. So I don't know what they were trying to put together, but in the scheme of things, I'm glad that I moved on because I fit better as a Green Bay Packer in that defense because of the scheme, as you said.
Right. Plus, then you would have never met me, and we wouldn't have this podcast and everything. You know, be real sad.
Right. Not be immortalized in purple. Yuck.
All right. Let's dive into this year's version of this game. And the Packers were fortunate enough, if you will, I guess, to open up U.S. Bank Stadium. They were the featured game. They lost by a field goal in that game. Then the following year at U.S. Bank, I believe, was Anthony Barr hitting Aaron Rodgers and knocking him out of the game. Mm-hmm. And Brett Hundley not being able to finish that game. Ultimately, you know, the Packers lost that one. And then a year ago, the Packers weren't very good, flat mm-hmm. out. It was a competitive game. Green Bay was super, super beat up. And neither team was very good. You know, the Packers ended up, I believe, 6-9-1. Minnesota ended up with an 8-win team. It was just kind of a knock them down, drag them out. But what that all equates to is that they were 0-3 at U.S. Bank Stadium. There has not been a win at U.S. Bank Stadium, which is odd because Aaron Rodgers actually has, as quarterback of the Packers, they have won plenty of games in Minnesota with Rodgers at quarterback. Mm-hmm. The McCarthy era in Minnesota honestly went a lot better than even the Holmgren era in Minnesota. Minnesota was a really tough place for you guys to play. Mm-hmm. Was it because of the style of the two teams and they were really good on turf? I know that was one thing Favre always said is John Randall was damn near unblockable on turf just because of his first step. What was it about Minnesota that gave you guys fits?
It's a combination of things, man. I think that, you know, the dome part of it, you know, and like you said, on the turf part of it and just being able to the walk from halftime. Oh, my God. You had to walk up 100 stairs. Soon as you get in the locker room, you sit down. Oh, time to go. I'm like, man, this is by design that we don't have a chance to sit down and go over stuff and get at least a little break. Then we got to come back out there. And the last thing is that little stupid dude riding around on that snowmobile with that stupid horn. We all be wanting to take that horn and shove it where the sun don't shine. And then they had remember they used to try to say that they had the crowd noise pumped through the speakers that time?
They did have the crowd noise pumped.
Oh my
That's
God.
Proven.
That was so, it was so loud in there, man. And they had about 8 people in the stands, but it was so loud in there. We like, man, we can't even get our car. No making no excuses about things. We had some classic battles up there. And just going into that place in the dome was something that we're not normally usually ready for or played. And I mean, it's not like we play 8 games in the dome. You know what I'm saying? It's a different atmosphere. But like I say, man, no making excuses. Minnesota's a tough place to play. And I tell everybody, if they take the top off of that stadium they got now, won't nobody go in there and beat them in November, December.
Yeah, but you know, they built a dome, and it's something their fans talk about all the time, is they enjoy being able to get out of the cold and go to, you know, a game in comfort, and that's great, I guess. But I think it's, as you do, I mean, as you agree with me, we both feel like it's a competitive disadvantage. You know, yeah. you get the Los Angeles Chargers or you know, the Jacksonville Jaguars to come up in the middle of December. They're not going to want that. They're not going to want any part of that.
Oh my God. There's times when we got off the bus in Minnesota and we even said, thank God we playing inside today. Cause it was just that cold up there.
Yeah, for sure. I kind of gave my two cents on this already, but I wanted to ask you what you feel like Dalvin Cook means to this team, because he busted off a 75-yard touchdown. The Packers were either up 14-3 or 21-3 and really, really showing the ability to maybe pull away and blow the Vikings out in week two. And then Dalvin Cook gets them back in the game. No coincidence, by the way, that Kenny Clark was on the sideline grabbing Gatorade for that 75-yard touchdown run. No coincidence But how much does him being out affect what they do? Or are you kind of with me in saying it's the scheme?
I would say Dalvin Cook is at least 60 to 65% of their offense. I mean, that guy changes that offense. Because it opens up the receivers, it opens up the quarterback, because everybody's looking for that play action, or they're looking for him to get the ball. You know what I'm saying? So I'm going to say he's a big plus to that offense, and them losing him, I don't care if they had a guy to stick in, it's not him for that offense. You know what I'm saying? Because he changes. I mean, with him playing, you lose sleep. With him not playing, we good. You know what I'm saying? Because that's how much he means to that offense. I mean, you look at, what's his name, Kirk Cousins? Is that the quarterback?
Yeah, the quarterback's name is Kirk Cousins.
You can tell how I keep up with them purple Barneys. But anyway, he is, like I said, 60 to 65% of their offense. Then it's Kirk Cousins. Then it's that receiver. Well, they together receive. What's the receiver's name?
They got two good ones. Thielen and Diggs. Stephon Diggs. Adam Thielen. Thielen or Diggs. Diggs caught the bomb in Lambeau Field. The one that Jair, you know, it slipped through Jair's hands, and then
you know that brings back nightmares of Randy Moss. You know what I mean? Oh my God. Just trying to, you know, we was in there, and I ain't going to say the DB name, but he went out there and he told one of our DBs, he said, hey, I'm going to put you on Sports Center today. I said, oh, wow. Why do you say that in the middle of a game? You know what I'm saying? Oh, my God. Them were the good old days, though. Good old days.
Yeah. That was if you were a Packers fan, that was really not a fun mm-mm. evening. I will tell you that right now.
Not at all.
The guys, the DBs, they had a long day. they had a very,
we had a lot of classic things. You know, I remember the time Wayne Simmons body slam Amp Lee twice. I remember when Randy Moss pulled his pants down in Lambeau. I mean, man, we the love-hate relationship between those purple people and just like with Chicago. I mean, to us, both of them are big-time rival games. I mean, everybody do love the Packer-Bear rivalry, but you got to also put in that Packer-Viking rivalry, because we don't like each other either.
Well, Randy scared Ron Wolf so bad, he spent his first three picks on corners the very next year. I'm not kidding. Vincent, Mike McKenzie, and Joey Thomas, all the same class.
Now, that was a good one. Mike McKenzie. Oh, that was a good one. I love Mike McKenzie.
When Mike and Al Harris were at the peak of their powers. We could do we could do a podcast on the hair pair. Maybe we could get one of the hair pair and and talk a little ball later in the off season. That was something for sure.
Yes. Them guys are awesome, man. Awesome.
What I will say though is Cousins was really bad in week one, probably even worse in week two. And then I think week three was against Chicago and he was bad. But since that point, he has been statistically one of the absolute best quarterbacks in football. He's been exceptional since, I think, losing to the Bears. And then whether it was on a radio show or something, but it got brought out into the public that he apologized to Adam Thielen about his play. And ever since that apology, he's been really good. And he has in the past some pretty exceptional numbers here and there against the Packers. And I would say with Dalvin Cook and maybe even potentially his backup not being able to go, Green Bay is likely going to be able to put this game into Kirk Cousins' hands.
I would hope so. I mean, to be honestly with you now, I mean, it was run first, pass second. Now it's pass first, run second without Dalvin Cook playing. So they got to turn it up a notch. They got to definitely put pressure on him because he's still got two great receivers. And if we let them get loose, then it's going to be a long day. Who's their tight end? What's his name?
Yeah, he's down the list on the old things of stuff to worry about. We'll talk about him in just a second. I want to get your grip, though, on the Vikings this season, and it was a stat that I kind of threw together, made Vikings fans real angry. It's one of my favorite things to do, actually, is make Vikings fans angry.
Me too.
The Vikings this season, I don't know, I don't know I don't know how it'll end up at the end of the season, but right now, and I don't understand how they got this schedule, but the Vikings are 8-0 against losing football teams this year. 8-0. And they are 0-3 against teams with a winning record. So the rest of their games obviously are against teams that are 500. But I mean, how good are they, right? I think that kind of ends up being the question, is just how good are the Vikings when they haven't beat a team with a winning record yet?
That's the thing. That's the thing, like I said last week, man, with the Bears. This is a rivalry game, and people got to understand that. You're going to get some of the best individual efforts in this game because you're playing the Green Bay Packers and you're a Minnesota Viking. Everybody knows in our division, in our world, in order to be king, you got to beat everybody. And that's what we've been doing to this point. If we knock these clowns off and knock Detroit off, we swept the whole division, period. And everybody knows that we are the gatekeepers, and if we can beat them, just like Minnesota's hoping they can do, then they might get a chance of getting to. They might get a chance to do that and other. But this game is big on both sides of the ball because it's the Green Bay Packers versus the Minnesota Vikings. Period.
Yeah, it's a huge game. The Packers have two chances at the Vikings to move on to the second round of the playoffs. They can do it Monday and just be in the second round of the playoffs, or they can lose on Monday, beat Detroit, and then have to beat Minnesota at home to go to the second round of the playoffs. I don't know about you, Gilbert, but I feel like winning the game on Monday sounds like a much more fun plan, and that a 13-3 season sounds a lot better too. Time to talk about your boy, Kenny. Yeah, that man needs a contract, by the way. I don't know if you have any phone numbers up at the main offices there, but it's time to get the young man a deal because he is getting more and more expensive by the minute. He has just been an absolute all-pro over the last 4 to 6 weeks. And I got to tell you, Gilbert, his performance against rookie center Garrett Bradbury in week two was an absolute baptism. That kid went to church. I mean, that was as rough as you will see. And he, look, he is now Garrett Bradbury was a guy I liked coming in. He is a former tight end. He's a light center that moves well. Great for the zone system that, that Minnesota wants to run. Mm-hmm. Problem is, when you're 295 or whatever he is, and you're kind of light in the seat of your pants, Kenny Clark becomes a problem.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if you understand the blocking schemes of a scoop block or reach block or getting up, blocking and getting up on the linebacker, them type of blocks don't work if you lighten the pants, because if you fire off the ball and you get pushed back because you can't get leverage to get around him or get up on him or try to wall him off. And the pressure that Kenny Clark brings when he comes off the ball is a power punch, which knocks him back. So when we look at it, Kenny Clark, if he don't get the contract that he needs, I'm gonna be out there with my picket sign and everybody else, and we gonna sit in the middle of the pack of pro shop till they tell us what we want to hear. Give them one.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. The big matchup of the weekend, I think, though, outside of Garrett Bradbury and Kenny Clark, because the Vikings don't have Dalvin Cook, is how do you match up with Thielen and Diggs? The Packers have, the three corners that they really like. Kevin King seems like sort of a Thielen-type matchup, and Diggs with his shifty abilities, Jair and Tremont. But it'll be really interesting to see how the Packers corners line up against these stud receivers, because they have the ability to break the game open. And honestly, they've done so in the past against the Packers.
I think we match up real well with them, man. I really do. Because at stake is the championship, the division championship. And at stake is us proving that we need to go on and we can get further into these playoffs. So this is our big test right here to let us know, because remember, in the playoffs, we got 49ers and we got Saints and all these other clowns. So we gotta make a statement. And I think that the two guys that we got to lock these guys up is going to do an awesome job. But again, it all starts up front. So if the Smith brothers and Kenny Clark get pressure on Cousins, them boys can sit back and have some popcorn and a drink and watch the game. But if we don't do that, then it's going to make it tough for us, because if Cousins sets his feet and throw that ball, it's going to get completed, period.
Yeah, and that's a big deal, because and this is one I'll take the L on. I will admit, I did not like Colton Miller, the really athletic tackle that ended up being an Oakland Raider. And in the same class, I didn't really like Brian O'Neill. And I was right about Colton Miller. I was dead ass wrong about Brian O'Neill. The Vikings right tackle is pretty easily their best offensive lineman. And he's going to have either the Za'Darius Smith or the Preston Smith assignment. Means they have to get after left tackle Riley Reiff, whether it's with Preston, whether it's with Za'Darius. Maybe it's with Rashawn, and you slide, because Za'Darius has been doing some of that rover stuff where he gets one-on-one with a guard, one-on-one with a center. Have him come and rush inside with Kenny and have Rashawn come from the outside. They need to get after Cousins on that turf and force him to make bad decisions, because that, in a big spot, and like you mentioned, with the championship on the line, that's been when this guy folds. That's been when he becomes Kirk Cousins. You know, the Kirk Cousins that everybody likes to make fun of. That's when he becomes that guy. You mentioned number one thing. All year long, stop Kyle Rudolph. Stop the tight end. Stop the big man. He's been a one-handed touchdown machine, really been a red zone problem. And if that's one place that the Packers have dominated, it's been situational defense. They have had an exceptional red zone defense. You look at their yardage versus yardage numbers, they might still be getting outgained and they're 11-3. But what they do is they convert on offense in the red zone, and they hold the other team to field goals in the red zone. And that's a big deal on Sunday. And Kyle Rudolph can be a huge part of that.
That's the thing, man. I always tell everybody, man, if you got the blueprint to beat the Green Bay Packers is to let your tight end get open in space or seams or hook routes, or wherever it is, and then watch him go. We have that and here, listen to me now. Dalvin Cook is not playing, so now we got to find another way to beat these Packers. So let them try to tie up Diggs and Thien or whatever his name is, and we're going to unleash this tight end. We have to cover the tight end this game and going on through all the way through the playoffs, because we don't let tight ends run wild on us all year long.
They really have, and it's been a problem, honestly, for about 12 years. They just haven't figured it out. Though some good news there, Ibrahim Campbell's really been playing well as that hybrid linebacker safety next to Blake, and Raven Green was getting work in on the side. They've used one of their two injured reserve returns with Jay Sternberger, but if they want to, and now it's two, I mean, nobody else is going to go on IR and be able to make it back by the end of the season. They could certainly use that second spot on Raven Green if they felt like he was physically ready to go, because he was a pretty good tight end matchup earlier in the season as well. Rudolph did not eat them alive in week two. Trey Burton didn't eat them alive in week one. Actually, you know what? Trey Burton was out, so it would have been one of the other Chicago tight ends, but the Chicago tight ends didn't have a big game before Raven got knocked out for the season. And then, you know, you saw what Philly's tight ends did to Green Bay after he was gone. It was ugly. All right, Gilbert, give me a couple of keys to knocking off the Vikings on Monday Night Football.
Couple keys, man. Offensive and defensive line, like I always say, we got to get pressure. If we don't get pressure and we let Kirk Cousins eat us alive, we're in trouble. Don't forget about the third string running back, because they're gonna run him to open up things for the passing game. We have to stay fast on getting pressure up the field on this quarterback, and then turn around for our offense. We have to open it up, man. We got to open it up. We got to use our tight end against people, and we got to open things up so we make them understand that we got this whole field. We got receivers, but we also got to use our tight end. We get our running game with Mr. Jones going, and we just chunk up yards and chunk up time, get on that plane, get ready for Detroit. Bam!
Can I get a prediction?
Oh, yeah. We going to whoop that tail up in Minnesota, period. No doubt.
I love it. I love it. I hate to break it to you. I've got the Vikings by 6 here.
What? I just fell out my chair. Oh my God.
Yeah,
you're wrong this time, mister. You're
I know. Wrong. And the only other time I've picked against the Packers, unfortunately, 49. Was when they went out to San Francisco. Yeah. This game means so much more to Minnesota than it does Green Bay. And I tell you what, though, if they win this game, it's going to completely change my view of this team. And so my view of this team, honestly, is I've felt it all along, right? I've really felt like this is kind of the incomplete mm-hmm. team. This is the 95 yeah. Packers. This is the 09 Packers. I really feel like next year is the year. And, you know, the second year of you know, like his buddy Sean McVay, did they go to the Super Bowl in the first year? No, they didn't. But they got a lot better. Then in year two, they went to the Super Bowl. Same thing is maybe even happening with Kyle Shanahan out in San Francisco. They got a lot better in year one. Now they look like a Super Bowl contender in year two. Next year, I think Matt LaFleur's his vision for this team, their roster, is really going to look like what he wants it to look like. And I think they've got a hell of a chance. Now, this team is, you know, one game away from having a chance to go 13-3. So this is a good team too. I just don't feel like it's the team. If they go into Minnesota and win, especially if they do it convincingly, I'm going to start believing that this is the team.
I got a question for you, Mr. Nostradamus. If they win this game, Do they rest for Detroit?
No, they can't. They can't afford to unless some truly wild shit happens with the Niners and Seahawks, because they can't rest for Detroit. They have to get that 13th win to get the bye.
But what are you saying is if they lose this game and then they beat Detroit, definitely they won't get the bye. But
right. So what? Okay. So you're asking you're asking if they win. If they win, will they rest? No, because if they beat the Vikings, they still have to beat Detroit to avoid having to play the 3-6 game. They want to beat the Vikings and then beat Detroit to stay the 2, because the 2 doesn't have to play on Wild Card Weekend.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, folks. We really appreciate you sticking on. This had to be a little bit of a long show, which we certainly hope you guys enjoy. Hopefully this is reaching you on some downtime. We realize, obviously, you're going to have to go all of Saturday's football and all of Sunday's football without the Green Bay Packers. Hey, folks, there's two major ways that you can help us and kind of guide us along, and that's by becoming a VIP member over at Packer Report. We would really appreciate that. A full membership actually comes with the commercial-free version of CBS All Access included, but we're running specials all the time with some big-time discounts, and we hope you appreciate that. The second thing that you can do for us is to leave us a 5-star rating on the podcast app of your choosing and leave us a written review. That helps us show up a little bit earlier for folks looking for Packers content. And we feel like we provide some of the best Packers content on the net. Folks, thank you for listening. Gilbert, thanks for your time. And go Pack, go.